Positive Perspective, one of the most interesting hours in radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on the scriptures, music, our communities, and world issues. We're broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
Yes, this is Positive Perspective, and I'm Willis Boyd. I'm Lone Soldier tonight, but I have some in-house people that are beautiful people, and hopefully we'll have an interesting show tonight. I'm getting by with a little help from my friends.
Yeah.
And we got Lee and Earlene and Andrea.
Hello.
So I'd first like to start the show off because I haven't seen Lee and Andrea in a minute. So, Lee, what have you been doing?
Oh, man, trying to make some money like everybody else, trying to keep my head above the water.
Are you doing it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I'll say, so anything interesting? You acting or reading? Or
I'm doing some of everything, man. God has blessed me to be versatile.
Versatile.
Wow. I mean, I'm everywhere.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing. How about you, Andrea?
Well, God has blessed me to be an active participant at my church at Paradise Baptist Church on 51st and Broadway in Los Angeles. I recently received a ministerial promotion. I went from being a helper in the kitchen to now leading the kitchen ministry for the church. Mm-hmm. And I just did the men's annual breakfast yesterday for 200 and maybe 50 people there, and I'm quite proud of it. I received a dozen red roses yesterday.
Wow.
So I've been working very hard with my church and still writing, of course, and have some upcoming events with Drama Stage in the next week or two and Andy Griggs. So we'll be discussing that a little later.
Oh, well, that's sweet. You know, a dozen roses means love, right?
Well, my church, they love me, and I love my church. That's my church family, and they have embraced every talent that God has gifted me to have. I'm able to fully display it there, and I'm very happy about that.
Okay, I just want you to know that a dozen roses means love, all right?
Yes, God loves me.
And last but not least, Miss Earlene Anthony, what's up? How you been?
Great, Willis. You know, we've been busy. We still have the Veterans Workshop over at the Vortex. We haven't did it for a while because Melvin is in rehearsal for a stage play coming up at the Roby Theater Company. And we've also partnered with CRE Outreach, a full scope veterans project that's in process, where we took some veterans and going to take them through a 16 weeks training, stage manager, and aspects of anti-violent situation coping group. And matter of fact, we have an event coming up on Veterans Day at the Lake Street Community Theater Center. And that's on Lake Street, which is near Beverly and Alvarado in Los Angeles. And it'll be like a Veterans Day celebration with some of the veterans. And we've met some beautiful female veterans also. Just to mention Irene Cruz, Lydia, and Teresa. They're great people. So we've been involved in a few things.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you guys got your hands in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And Melvin's really going after this part. Like, gosh, all the practice and rehearsal, huh?
Rehearsal 6 days a week. So when it opened, they better be pretty good. I tell you that.
Well, I can't wait hardly.
Yeah, me too.
I want to see this.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
Me too.
You know, what she said, veterans, and I thought about the news this morning about the guy who come back from Afghanistan, 22-year-old Latino kid, and he goes through all this war, all this, all, you know, all this stuff.
Danger.
To come back home and get killed.
How did he get killed?
Somebody got into an argument. He walked down the street and they jumped out on him.
Oh,
just,
wow,
you know,
wow.
Just thinking about, you know, you go to war.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you come home to get killed.
Because it's war on the streets. It's war here in this country on the streets.
But at least you know, right?
You know what? That's
you home.
Exactly.
You're not supposed to come home to a war after leaving one war. You know, I mean, if either of us in this room would think of being in Afghanistan and being in America in a war,
right?
Where would you most likely get killed at?
I live in Riverside.
I live in South Central.
Well, see, by living in South Central, that could be the operative answer. You may more likely be killed in the streets of Los Angeles being a black man on the streets of Los Angeles in these days and times. Mm-hmm. It is just that treacherous. I mean, young men are being killed every day.
I know.
Corners, picking up bodies.
I mean, more than black people. It's like, they're not discriminating anymore.
There is no discrimination.
Mm-hmm. No respect of persons.
I think it was a black guy in Riverside that got shot at the gas station or something, and the police said that he was trying to run him over, but the surveillance cameras caught a different story.
Showed a little something different.
The truth.
Was that Riverside? Was that in Riverside? Or
I'm not sure. I didn't hear about that. So many going on. I didn't hear about that one.
Right, but God, it's like, they're not discriminating. At least, they're trying to kill everybody they can.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know,
It's just racism and a few other things mixed in together just causes, things of the past, come up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like the guy over there on 55th and Avalon, young guy riding a bicycle, right? And my parents was asking me questions, because I'm not the... I used to be a rough rider too, So they asked the question, I don't believe it. The police just jumped over and kicked him in the ear. I said, well, hell, they kicked me in my ear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Kicked me square in the ear. I'm on the ground, no weapon, no nothing. Just walked up, boom.
Kicked you in the ear.
Kicked me in my ear. So, uh-huh. I know what happens. I had one try to push my head through a window.
Yeah.
See, I know what happens with this type of stuff.
Yeah, I know
and racism plays a part in that, or something happened in the past that brought it up in the individual.
What do you think? Do you think, though? And I mean, we say racism, but these guys are like angry,
and to me,
they're looking for a confrontation or something, because they're just angry. They don't care if you're black, white.
No,
and I mean, the chances of you getting shot if you're white might be slimmer.
Depending on where you at.
Yeah.
Depending on where you at.
But they just seem like they just hate. And, it's not an easy life for them out there, too, Because you got a lot of stuff going on. But still, if you're a public servant and you're going through the training and all that, it just seems like, I don't know.
You know what, though? Back in the day, right?
Hey, I know about it.
See, and the police used to walk the beat, right? Uh-huh. And they knew.
Man,
let me not go to school one day and an officer see me walking around in the street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell your parents about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you going to go up in that school or you want me to go over there?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was more of a community type thing. They knew the officers, the police, LAPD, sheriff, they knew you. They knew your parents. They knew where you stayed at because they were there.
Yeah, but it's a big city out there now. There's a lot of crazy folks coming in.
The city,
I know, but it's... Say what?
The city has not expanded, nor has it shrunk.
I know, but it's got... Come on, Lee. There's like so many more
people. Population. It's more populous now.
And you got people, and I'm not... You guys know me. I'm not a prejudiced person, but you got people coming in from out of countries. They're coming out of countries that have no regard for life. They're coming out of countries that they have to kill to survive. And they're coming here. And a lot of them are coming in illegally.
Okay.
And we're feeding them and blessing them and this and that. And they're killing and doing all the stuff that... And I'm not saying all of them, but I'm just saying they have... A lot of them have that mentality that, they have no regard for human life. You mess with them and they shoot you because... Okay. And that's what the cops are trying to deal with too,
Okay. Now, let's push it a little further. You think Castro and them let the best of their people go? Huh? Do you think Russia let the best of their people go?
Criminals and the
thugs and everybody.
So wait a minute. So you saying they kicking these folks out, or these folks are trying to get out?
No, a bunch of them they let get out, and some of them they wanted to get out just went along with the rest of them.
Oh, I see.
You know, because now you know what? If everybody would live and let live, right? I mean, that's
in a perfect world.
Hey, you do what you got to do, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do what I got to do. Uh-huh. But I want to be able to survive, too. But you got some people just don't care. No. Them are thugs.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Because you try to push me back. I used to catch the bus, and I still catch the bus, matter of fact. But I would catch the bus, and I'm sitting there, and the bus is crowded. People standing up. You know, and, all of a sudden, you know, and they come, and they like, I don't want to sit in there. I'm trying to make me feel bad. Uh-huh. You know what I tell them? You know, I'll tell wide openly, you can stand your ass up if you want to, but I'm going to sit right here.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't make me feel bad. I paid my money just like you.
Right.
Now, if you want to stand up, help yourself. That's your legs.
Right.
Uh-huh. But I'm going to sit on my back end and let my legs rest.
Right. Well, I guess that could be a whole nother show within mm-hmm. itself.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say something about the police. A lot of the police are in fear. And a lot of times you can see it, you know, like when they it come on the news that the police have shot somebody 17 or 18 or 20 or whatever times.
That's not fear.
Right. I believe it's fear. Because and the adrenaline is flowing and they get out of control. Because one shot can kill somebody because the police are trained to kill. You know, when they shoot, they're trained to kill. Mm-hmm. You know, we ask a lot of times, well, why don't they shoot somebody in the foot or the leg or the arm or whatever?
That doesn't make sense.
No, they're trained to kill. But a lot of them is fear and then the adrenaline and then they get out of control and they go shoot somebody 30 times. Mm-hmm. You know, what's up with that?
That's what you said, out of control.
Yeah.
I don't even think it has anything to do with fear.
I think it
has a lot to do with anger.
Mm. It's more to do with anger than anything else.
That's what I think. I'm not saying that they're not scared, but I think that they're looking for a confrontation from whoever, and that's what they're get up to do. If you give them a reason, if they got you and you go like this, they going to kill you
because that's
what they want to do.
Okay.
So don't give them a reason. And you might still, they still might kill you, but if you give them a reason or you're out of place or talking out of line or going like this or something, they want to kill you.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's kind of funny now, but Richard Pryor was doing some kind of little skit, you know. He was saying if the police stop him, he's going to say, okay, now I'm raising my hand.
That's
okay,
what I do.
Now,
you know what?
I don't have a knife, okay?
Serious.
Yeah.
Serious as a heartbeat.
On the serious
That's
side.
That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
My wallet is, I ain't telling everybody where I keep my wallet.
Yeah.
But that's what I tell them. I am opening my glove box. And I tell them that. And you know what? Most of the time, they step back and they put their hands on their gun.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time.
But,
and I don't blame them.
And
I don't blame them.
I would say that some of them deal out of fear, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know that if they'd have known that judge was over there by UCLA and he was a judge, they wouldn't have did what they did.
So you think they did it out of fear?
Racism.
Yeah.
Let's see what this black guy doing up in here.
It's called DWB, Driving While Black.
You know
just
what I'm saying?
Being black, period. So,
bro, they caught me driving dirty.
And the young guy over there on 50 by Main Street, 50-something in Main. No, 67th in Main, somewhere over there, right? Now, we always have discussions with me and my family about what people do, right? Now, this guy supposedly walking down the street, right, makes certain motion. They want to stop and find out what he's doing. He like a potential gang member, he young and black. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So, you know, him knowing how the police is going to approach him, he don't turn around. He keep walking, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking. Everybody's had an opinion. I have an opinion, too, right, on that right there. And if this ain't what happened, then my experience has been a little bit different than his. He was walking, and he kept walking because he don't want to be out there in the dark behind them LAPD people or any other police officer. So he keep walking. Now, this in these peace officers' mind, right?
He's mean.
So he go and snatch the boy.
Uh-huh.
But the boy flip him, right?
Ooh.
Now, this is my opinion. And then he tried to pull his gun out. The boy grabbed his arm, hold the gun. Now, the boy's on top.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, the other police officer, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know?
That's automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he tried to keep himself from getting shot from the bottom up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he grabbed him by the arm.
Uh-huh.
And he hold on to his arm. And he was trying to grab the weapon. Man, I don't have been dealing with them people, so I know if they experience anything like mine,
mm-hmm.
I know exactly what they did. Because they, one thing they don't want to be done, they want to have authority, right?
Right.
And they want to be able to control you.
Right.
You ain't supposed. If
we
I
don't
say,
have any rights.
I'm going to end with this right here.
Uh-huh.
Right. Mm-hmm. Police officer was out. Checking on some potential city workers,
mm-hmm.
you know, want to pinion other people in the neighborhood, right? So they come to my parents' house. And what happens is the sheriff came there. He said he was quiet about the neighbor upstairs, right? And do you know what he did?
Mm-mm.
He didn't even ask to come in. He just opened the door and started walking in.
In your house or the neighbor's house?
No, in my house.
Uh-huh.
In my parents' house.
Uh-huh.
And you know what my dad said?
Right.
He said, I don't even remember telling you to come in my house, so back up out of here.
Right. Huh.
You know what I'm saying? Most of them want to have control of you, and they try to...
Force them.
Yeah. You're supposed to obey the police officer and all that there. Sometimes obeying a police officer can get you killed even quicker.
Yeah, I know, but the deal with the kid wrestling, wouldn't you rather be, like, alive and controlled than just dead? And I'm just saying...
Hold on.
I know what you're saying,
Let's go back a little further than that.
I think he should have the right to walk down the street
without being
assumed of being guilty of anything. In this country, you're supposed to be presumed innocent until they prove you guilty of something.
Well, they just assume
because you have a certain look, you may have your pants down too low, or you just may have that look to them. So, okay, you fair game to them.
I know, but wouldn't it be smarter? It's like that kid that got shot on the subway bus and up in Oakland
yeah.
and that
mm-hmm.
whole thing.
Yeah.
I saw the movie, and I'm not sure. I think they had, pretty good counseling from the parents and the people around when they made it, but that kid had a big mouth and he was, bucking the system. Okay, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah, we should have a right to do certain things, but, it's not like that. When I was a youngster, I'd be walking and they'd stop me and make me lay down face down on the sidewalk and do all this stuff. I'm trying to get to work. I didn't have a car. I'm walking to work.
But then I hear
on the radio, we got a report that there was a guy that stole something.
So you fit the description.
No, I didn't. I heard on the radio that this dude was like 5'4", 206 pounds.
Well.
And I was, I think, a buck 125.
But your skin color was right.
But do you understand what I'm saying? So I know, but what they told me to do, I just did it. And I thank God in L.A., Riverside, or wherever I've been, that I've been in situations like that, and I haven't been, abused by them or even beaten or whatever. And I know a lot of people that have, but I think it's just by God's grace that I haven't because I was there.
No, I'm walking down the street. I'm best about to approach Compton. On the south side of the street. And
That's a dang good memory, Lee.
I'm saying, I didn't come in contact with him, not intentionally,
mm-hmm.
right? They just stopped me and said, put your hands up, blah, 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 blah. You like a robbery suspect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know doggone well I ain't robbed nobody, right? Mm-hmm. So they put me in the car, take me around the corner on Compton, flip the car around facing north. It's another car facing south. They pull up there. They take me out of the car and say, if it's not you, then we'll let you go. You know, we'll take you back where we got you from. Took me out of the car with the handcuffs on, and I guess asked the other guy. They put the lights on while I couldn't see the person in the car.
Is that him?
Is that him? Now, if that guy had been pissed off in that car and said, yeah, guess
he's
what?
Gonna catch you.
I would have had real serious problems.
Mm-hmm. But what happened?
He said it wasn't none of me.
Thank God.
You know? Mm-hmm. But he just said, if he'd just been angry at some black dude, or who he could have been black. I don't know who he was. I could never see him. But if he'd have been angry enough, just say, yeah.
Black on black anger.
I would have been locked up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but you know, it's been happening since the beginning of time. And we can't fix it, so.
If you got a guy, say, just like you were just talking about, you said the guy weighed, 200 some odd pounds, you weighed a buck 25?
Yeah, and he was only 4'11".
Why pick on me, man?
But I know, but what I'm saying is, you know, I'm late to work. I don't even have a car. I was, out of high school trying to make it. And you know, they're humiliating. It's humiliating being, treated like that. But, I mean, I just endured it. And, you know, I'm still here to talk about it. And I think that's by God's grace. But it's not by anything else.
But what about, you know, we're dealing with a different generation of people. Right?
What is that supposed to mean?
What that means is they are more hyper than we were. We had, you know, they don't want to be bothered with this survey. So just you being the police, that don't mean nothing.
I mean,
that don't mean nothing.
I mean, what are you saying?
They subject to get off.
At any time. And they subject to get killed, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, they subject to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
But then again.
But a lot of them are innocent shootings. But, and that might, what you're talking about, might very well be the reason police are acting the way they're acting. I mean, I'm not trying to stick up for nobody. But
you don't go around. Let me just tell you something, Willis. Mm-hmm. I'm standing up there talking to a friend of mine, and he's drinking a can of beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
They pull up there, give him a ticket, right?
Drinking in public?
He's drinking in public, right? You know what they did?
What?
And God be my witness on this right here. They picked up an empty beer can and gave me a ticket too. I paid $140 for that ticket. That's right. And I ain't had no beer, period.
You need to just stay in the house.
No, I ain't finna stay in no house. This is a sociable world, and I'm gonna be out in it. That's right. If you think I'm gonna stay up in the house by anywhere else.
I believe you because I've had, I'm not going to get into that. We're supposed to be talking about something else anyway.
Willis,
but anyway.
I love your sense of humor.
Anyway, no, I've had stuff happen to me you wouldn't even believe.
Before you switch gears, can I just share with you an alarming statistic
read? Share it.
In the Los Angeles Times, approximately 4 months ago, on the front page, that in a 2-mile stretch from Imperial and Vermont, northbound to Manchester and Vermont since 2008, there have been over 70 homicides in that 2-mile stretch. 80% homicides. How many of those homicides do you think have been solved? And it's 2014.
I don't know how many.
Well, maybe 3-5%. But I'm saying, the young Chinese individuals that got killed in the car by USC 2 years ago, their perpetrators all have been tried and convicted. You can look around the landscape and see many crimes against other people, ethnicities, have been solved and they've been convicted.
Mm-hmm.
But these 60-plus homicides, 2% of conviction rate, what is that telling me? That they don't care if we kill each other up by the 10s and 20s, as long as it's us. But let it cross to Beverly Hills, or let it cross Hawthorne or Torrance. And everyone's outraged. We should be outraged that 65 homicides in a 2-mile stretch in 6 years have gone unsolved. And so, nobody seems to care about it. And they get every other day, 2 or 3 times a day. So, in that same little stretch, our kids are being gunned down, shot, and killing each other, police killing. We should all be outraged. And I just wanted to share that alarming statistic.
Okay, so, but what I'm saying, in Beverly Hills, is it still us doing the killing and robbing? We're getting caught, but, I mean, we're killing and robbing in our own place, and they're not doing anything about it. But is it black people going to Beverly Hills and killing people and getting caught?
Well,
was it black people that killed the Asian people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
Young black man for their phone. For
you know
their
what I think?
Phone, allegedly.
I think black people need to stop robbing and killing people. That's what I think. Does that make sense?
Does not necessarily mean they're robbing and killing. Oh, wow. They could be an innocent victim of drive-by shooting or anything.
Oh,
that
I
doesn't
got
mean
you.
That well, you're robbing and killing someone.
Let's kind of just be realistic about this.
Huh?
The unsolved murders. Who said it was black people killing black people? Who said it was black people killing black people?
Well, that's what I just asked. I just asked if
it was unsolved.
But no one is caring about it.
Well, no, I'm just saying, maybe the people here killing are a lot better than the other people killing, and that's why they can't get caught.
Well, we don't know because they haven't solved any of the crimes. So we don't know who's killing. And they're not trying to solve them because it's minorities that are being killed. There is a disparity in the penal system, and we all know it. The prison industrial complex is alive and well, and it's being filled every other second with men, young men of ethnicity and colors. And the statistics bear it out. The number one business in this country is private prisons. So you're 16 years old, and they give you a 360-year sentence.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, hey,
it's ridiculous.
I can't deny any of that, but I think that, you know, a lot of times that, and I don't know, because, you know, we talk about the reason why black people kill and the oppression and this, and I believe a lot of that stuff, but we just need to try to get on top of it. I mean, somehow, and you know what?
Well, it's like you said.
What's the solution? Do you have anything in mind?
Job training, opportunities, inner city.
Do they want
rehabilitation?
Do people want it?
They don't know if they want it because it's never been offered.
Well, they never offer it here. Positive Light Ministries offered job training and different things to children and stuff, and very few. Matter of fact, Shantae is the only student that I had that took advantage of the situations that or the opportunities that she was given out of all the kids. Only one out of all those kids. So I'm just saying a lot of them don't want it. Now, I'm not saying why they don't want it or because of, you know, their upbringing or the oppression of society and those things. I mean, it could play a factor in all of it. But I'm saying job training, you can put it out there, but who wants it?
You'd be surprised.
Well, you know what?
I would.
A lot of people have never really been introduced to it.
They've never been given the opportunity.
Let me tell you something. A lot of children today, mm-hmm. they ain't never been in a church. And if they have, they wouldn't remember what they seen in there or what they heard.
But whose fault is that?
Who could it be?
Train up a child the way you want them to go, and they when they are old,
parents.
They will never depart
parents.
From it.
See, so I know, but one, so now we're getting kind of into
The one thing that I would suggest that every young man, every child, every mother and father, take your child to the church house and give them something to see. Because you know what? In that church, you'll never hear the negativity. Only solutions.
Oh, come on. Come on, Brother Lee. Come on,
only
Brother
solutions.
Lee. You can't, baby. You can't say that. You cannot sit there. You can say it, but what does it mean? Church is more hypocrite now than ever. And I mean, everybody wants money, prosperity preaching. I understand what you're saying. But, I understand fully what you're saying. But it don't mean nothing because they're lying and they're cheating and they're doing everything just like everybody else.
Okay, hold up. Now, you can't blanket state it on all churches.
Right?
It don't apply to
it don't apply to them.
Then talk to me.
I'll tell you what you do.
Talk to me.
Hey, Willis, let me tell you what you do. I want you to go to 4802 McKinley Avenue. It's called Victory Baptist Church. W.E. Jenkins, pastor, right? He teaches, not preaches. He teaches. And I enjoy listening to him.
Okay, can I ask you one question?
What's that? Bring it.
Is he human?
That's right. And one thing he'll tell you just right here. The way things are going, the way he was brought up, where he came up, came up in the church. But everything ain't been peaches and cream. They never are. And if anybody can say that their whole life in peaches and cream, you must have had all the money in the world.
And that's all the money in the world.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you a little story. I know a brilliant young black preacher. And his word, I mean, he preaches, he's brilliant. Kids in the church, he has everybody doing something. He's training all of them. It's wonderful to go see. But this young brother's a hustler. Okay, now listen to me. He's a hustler. He's preaching God's word, but he's hustling. You know why? You know why he's hustling? Because God's not paying his bills, or he feels God's not going to pay his bills, so he feels he's got to hustle to feed his family.
Okay.
And that's the whole truth of the matter. Okay. He's brilliant. I love him.
Hold on.
And he's preaching the word of God.
I tell you one thing, this brother that's out there preaching and hustling, if he has been called by God, God is going to meet his needs.
Yeah, but you better tell him that.
Period.
Let's try
it's
this.
It's not
right
about
here.
Telling him that. Is you know, he don't have to believe it, but that's the way it is.
Okay.
You know, he can, you know, hustle and whatever. But you know, as they say, by your fruit, you know, we know who you are, who you serving.
By your words.
Now, if he's out there hustling. Now, is that contrary to the word of God or what?
That's what I'm trying to hear, man.
Okay,
Lee is saying is he's sitting up in his church and homeboy's brilliant. He loves listening to him, but it don't mean nothing.
Let me ask you a question, Willis.
I mentioned this before we started, right? Tell me anybody on the face of the planet Earth or anywhere in this atmosphere or anywhere else out there is not a servant of God. Huh? Tell me somebody.
I'm not getting
even
I'm
the
not,
worst
I'm not
person
understand.
Is a servant of God. The worstest person. You know why? Because he'll fit one purpose or another. He'll serve. Oh, let's go back to Israel. When the Babylonians took them into captivity. Right? Were they not servants of God?
What, in captivity?
No.
Were they not servants?
Were they not servants? So as long as he stayed within the guidelines of the Bible or the Quran or whatever it is that he's teaching, right? As long as it's truth coming out of there and God's word, right?
Well, God's word will not come back void. So an idiot.
And it's the same then as it is now.
Right.
I'm just saying.
And I want to say this, Willis. God can use a hustler just like he can use it.
Somebody's going to be listening.
Because, all the people in the Bible, what, none of them perfect? God is not looking for people that are perfect.
Imperfect is what he's looking for.
He's looking for people that he can trust.
And not the righteous to repent.
So he can use a hustler. He can use a hustler just like he can do anybody else.
That's true.
I'm saying that, but what Lee is saying, take the child to church. Take him to church.
Why not?
Take him to church.
Why not? You took him everywhere else.
I'm not saying that's
wrong. You took him to the baseball, basketball, and football game.
I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying when you take that, you can't expect, you cannot expect that you're going to get a good result because there's a lot of bad happening. Not all churches are bad, but there's a lot of bad happening.
But what you want to do is expose him or her to this right here. Don't leave that out. Don't just leave. You took them everywhere else. Now you're going to leave the church out of the mosque or the synagogue out of it.
I'm not disagreeing with you not one bit.
You know,
and consider this. You know, we quote this scripture. It's a great scripture. And train up a child in the way that he should go.
When he's old, he'll never depart from
He will not depart. Now from birth all the way up to when he's old. It's a lot of living in there that's going to be done. It may not be the right way that we think he should go, but you can believe the scripture when he is old, because you know a child from the first through whatever age, he's always told what to do. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. And a lot of them, when they get to say that age, they think they grown. Oh, I'm going to get out here and do anything I want to do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them do. But you know the scripture's true. When he is old, you know, hang on that old. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to depart.
No. Well,
okay?
No, I think I think that's debatable.
It is debatable, but it's a lot of truth in what I just told you.
No, I believe there's a lot of truth in what you just said. I believe it is true, but I believe it's debatable when you look at it. And people, that's the thing I think, Brother Lee and all you guys, is that the church are letting us down. A lot of them. Now, and I'm not saying there's a lot of good things going on in the church, and there's a lot of beautiful churches, but
let me ask you, what do you consider the church? Do you consider it the building?
Or the people?
Or the people?
I consider it going out into the communities and helping and feeding and doing the right things and teaching and making themselves available.
Okay, is that the building or the people?
So what Jesus was saying when he said it, he said, I'm going to teach you how to be fishermen of men.
Fishers of men.
Instead of feeding you. Right, I'm gonna show you how to go out and spread the word of God and actually you're feeding the people's spirit, right?
Mm-hmm. And guess what? Most of Jesus' preaching and teaching was done on the streets. He wasn't in no building. He wasn't in a church.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he was on the streets with the people.
I didn't say it was the building.
I'm just
what
saying,
I just described.
Well, then that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's not about the building.
People have
it's about
to go out
what's in your
help
heart.
The poor and do all that stuff.
But, and to roll it back, you know.
Let's look around. The church teaches morals, man. A lot of churches teach morals.
Let's look
and
around.
And that's what we need to have.
And we need
that's,
yeah,
and
we
that's
need
what them
to
guys
do,
on
we
the
need
street,
to get up.
When their parents don't take them up, expose them to it. Expose them to the moral teachings. Jesus never taught you to blow out and bust nobody in the head.
Yeah, I know, but how can you take a child to church when you don't go yourself?
That's exactly what I've been saying all along.
Well, I tell you what, my parents didn't always go, but you can rest assured they sent
sure
me.
Went.
I was
sure
sitting up in there with my little nappy head.
I need to take a break and read these announcements, which I hate. I'm going to do it anyway. Go ahead with it. Try to get through this thing.
Well, you got 17 minutes to get through it. Let's go.
We gonna hit you harder than we hit you yet.
All right. Okay, visit iTunes.com to download podcasts from previous shows. If you like to call in, our number is 800-893-9562. The best impressions are made at home. Elite furniture for affordable prices. Living Large Furniture. That's Living Large Furniture. Call Richard at 951-214-8555. For interesting talk radio, make sure you tune in to the Qumran Report with Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Earlene Anthony in-house tonight. Mondays at 8 p.m. live at Skid Row Studios. Drama Stage Qumran has a weekly veterans. Are you guys still doing that?
We're still doing it. It's on hold right now because of rehearsal.
Okay, well, we'll scratch that and we'll give it back.
After the play.
When it resumes.
Right.
Okay. We'd like to thank our professional engineer.
Cheyenne.
And she's jamming in there, doing a very great job, and we do appreciate her for that. If you'd like to be a part of our show through sponsorship, contact us at 951-789-1046. If you would like to learn more about Positive Light Ministries and donate, please visit our website, positivelight.org, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. And now back to our discussion.
You were going to talk about being unequally yoked.
You think I got time to talk about
us?
We got a few. Mm-hmm.
We can get a lot. Hey, a person can get a lot done in a minute. if you know how to walk with it.
Hey, my dad used to tell me, boy, it takes you all day to do nothing.
Can I interject one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
And I wanted to say it while you were doing the community announcement.
Oh, go ahead.
And I didn't get a chance, but I want to give a shout out to the Vortex with the Veteran Stand Down coming up on November 15th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Vortex at 2341 East Olympic Boulevard. That's right on the corner of Santa Fe and Olympic. All you veterans, come out. We're going to have all kinds of things for you that will interest you, will help you. We have haircuts. We have the Veterans Administration out to guide you through housing, clothes. We just have a lot going on for you veterans. So if you're within the earshot of my voice, please come out and visit us, you vets, at 2341 East Olympic Boulevard for the Veteran Stand Down, hosted by Drama Stage Qumran, the Roby Theater, and many other good sponsors. And back to you, Willis. Thank you.
That was awesome, Andrea. Thank you, because that is up and coming this next week.
This Saturday.
Next Saturday.
On the 15th.
And it was awesome last year.
Mm-hmm. It was.
I will be setting up everything.
And you performed. Yeah. You come performed.
Out,
Willis.
Come out and meet Andrea and Lee at the Stand Down.
We'll all be there.
And Willis, too.
Willis, oh,
sorry.
And matter of fact, Brother Lee, I will be setting up the sound and doing those things.
Yeah, I was told that you was going to do the, you and Gaze were going to hook up everything.
So, I had to get that plug in, Willis, before
we
got off the air.
Very, very professional.
I want you guys to come out.
I'm so envious of you. You are so awesome. But, yeah, that's going to be an awesome event. I don't believe we have time to talk about Unequally Yoked. But, I mean, we can hit on a little bit from the Bible, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness have and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? Evenly and unevenly yoked.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm saying it like that because the Bible states it like I just read, which is 2 Corinthians 6:14. And it talks about, what does that mean to you guys? Unevenly yoked.
To me personally?
Yeah.
From a female perspective, unevenly yoked.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's symbolic of me being with a man that does not support me. He's pushing, I'm pulling, we're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You have to have someone like-minded, like-spirited, that's moving in the same direction with you, which is in a positive direction.
So
if you're unevenly yoked, you are definitely saddled with someone that is not regarding your best interests, and you guys are not going anywhere because one is pushing and one is pulling. You're unevenly yoked.
Okay, so let's break down for the folks that don't know, what does yoked mean?
Yoke is like you're an ox with or a horse with something saddled around your neck and your mouth, mm-hmm. and you have no control.
It's like you have two oxes, and the yoke is the wooden
contraption that holds them in the direction that you want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
They have no control over what they want to do. They're yoked by this collar.
And then, like you say, if they're supposed to go around together.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And get a job done.
Exactly.
And if you're unevenly yoked, then you wouldn't put, can I say jackass?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just said it.
Forgive me. You wouldn't put one of those with an ox.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. You wouldn't put a really young ox with a big, strong ox.
He'd be unevenly yoked because the stronger one is going to
overcompensate. I mean they can train the weaker one, but if the one's too young, then you still have a mismatch.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And what you were saying is probably a good, mm-hmm. a really good description.
An analogy. Of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and because your listeners are right there, we don't want to really leave anybody out.
Mm.
And I study Quran too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Allah said in the Quran that the believers are for believers. You don't put believers and non-believers together because one of them is, like you said, pushing and pulling, right?
And you're not going anywhere.
You're going nowhere. Mm-hmm.
You're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And also being so politically correct anymore with people also I've talked to people that feel unequally yoked because, like, maybe the wife is making more money than the husband. Mm-hmm. And this is a situation that's unequally yoked because the husband feels less than. He feel like he's not really, as they used to say back in the day, the breadwinner. And then sometimes this is a situation that become unequally yoked.
Okay, but see, in that situation, that's a situation of pride.
Whatever you want to call it.
Okay, in that situation, if a man, and I'll just put it out there, my wife has made more money than me for an eternity.
I understand that.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that
some people feel this way. It may not be the truth, but they feel this way.
But that doesn't... I mean, it's a mindset, but mm-hmm. that's not necessarily... I think that's pride where I'm talking...
I'm coming from the point of being politically correct. When anything is out of balance in a relationship, it's an unequally yoked situation.
And if you want to be biblically correct, the male in the Bible is supposed to be the husband, the provider. Mm-hmm. And the wife, the nurturer, and raising of the children. So when it's flipped around, like Earl alluded to, then you have the, you know, the conflict.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Is the woman, because she is making more money, is she wearing the pants? Is he staying home? Because, I mean, the man is working, right? He's not just sitting around working, not doing anything.
Yeah, I'm just putting that example on the table. It's not one that...
I know that.
But I would contend with because... When I get the money, it's going in the same pot.
Yeah,
so,
right. And it's not like that with a lot of households.
When you get in the pot, you're not concerned. Did I put this in or that in?
How much she put in?
It's just a community pot, so to speak.
But I have heard some women...
It's supposed to be like that.
Yeah, but I've heard some women have this conversation about the man feel less than, you know... the provider, whatever. So it has called a lot of situations that
is he
come
feeling
up
like that because she's making him feel like that?
Hey, I don't know.
You know, I heard someone tell me that it was kind of funny when the guy said it. He said, I like women that make a lot of money. And the guy said, why? Because they can buy good gifts.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I'm
true.
He ain't got to work. You know, I mean, he doing what he can do. Mm-hmm. If they evenly yoked still, in a sense, because of the love they have for each other and respect they have for each other.
Go ahead.
So I was going to get back to the unequally yoked thing here. It's actually really talking about your faith, your belief in God as to where you are, whether or not you're unequally yoked.
Go ahead.
One person may not believe in God or have any faith at all, maybe an atheist or whatever they want to call himself, and the wife, let's say, maybe Christian, staunch Christian or whatever. Now, you know from the get-go, this is unequally yoked, and this is what we're talking
because
about.
Because their mindsets are totally opposite.
Right.
But that's a biblical standpoint, but we have a lot of people now that think that's a comic book or a fairy tale book, and that's why I'm saying, you know, let's open this thing up and try to look at it from different angles.
Okay,
but
I
understand what you're saying completely, and you're right.
Right, like Andrea was saying, if you're, you know, two people, if you're not like-minded, you know, that's a situation that's unequally yoked from get-go.
You want to get you a woman, a real woman, right? Get you a woman that love God.
That part.
Then she can love you if you're
that's
a believer.
Right.
But if you're not a believer, you're going to hate her because she loved God more than she loved you.
Exactly.
That's right. Mm. You get it.
And you got that right.
What I got is love God. And I know what that is.
Everything else will take care of itself if you love God.
If you put him first.
You put him first.
That's right.
But why would you... I mean,
what are the
believing man for a believing
woman,
right?
Like that.
And,
I mean,
and she can appreciate.
Hello, she's got her hand up in the air now.
Praying all that, Andrea.
She's got her hand up. She's got her hand up.
That's two out of one.
With their hands up.
Oh, and I believe it.
Truly.
But when you start looking at the masses, and you find a lot of people blowing that horn, but you know what? And that there again, there I go again, positive light, taking the negative view of it. But I'm just trying to be realistic because I'm looking at society and I'm looking at Christian society.
Yeah,
they say Christian society now has surpassed secular or people for divorces.
Okay.
They're saying those numbers have beat them. They were equal.
Okay, Willis.
But
let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you go in a garage, are you a car?
Back in 75.
No. Give me an answer. See, you're trying to dance around.
Okay,
it.
Wait. Okay, here I go.
What I'm saying is,
I'm not a car if I go in a garage.
Right.
Mm.
Exactamundo. And just because people go to church and say they are Christian, it don't make them a Christian.
Right, and that's
people
what
people can
my
put
point.
Any title on they want to. The fruit is in the pudding.
Yeah, but that's my point.
Yeah.
Is we got all these people talking this game, mm-hmm. but the Christian divorce is up. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was going back to the church. The church things are. I mean, we're dropping the ball a lot. And I say we're, but I'm talking about in general, not you, Miss Erling. I know you got the ball. I know you're running with it. You're going to touch down. You're going to touch down in heaven. You're going to spike it in heaven. And I know that, but I'm seeing as a
whole. I understand what you're saying.
And you know I'm right. You know it's real. What I'm saying is real.
I understand what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The worldly rate and the Christian rate of divorces, there's not much difference anymore.
I heard we're leading them.
There's a correlation.
I understand what you're saying.
There's a correlation.
When I was sitting there this morning mm-hmm. in church, and they had a visiting pastor there, right? And he was talking about if you believe that everything is going to be hunky-dory.
Okay, watch that word hunky, brother.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Willis.
Anyway.
You don't want to know where that word actually stems from.
No, we don't. We need that to be a whole show.
She's a dictionary.
I know.
She's a walking dictionary.
So let him go. Let him go. Go ahead, Lee.
If you think everything's going to be all right all your life, then nature tells you it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it rains in some place. You can ride your car due east and run into a storm.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And what you going to do? Stop.
Sometimes you got to.
Sometimes you have to. Stop and think about where you at.
Because you can't see.
But still, you got to go
that's
on your journey.
That's where you strap on the safety equipment.
Right.
The windshield wipers, the defroster,
that's
and all
your strength.
Of that.
Going through that storm.
The
whole armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go through the storm. You're going to go through some of everything in your life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah,
if you think you're not going to, or you're just going to go ahead and blow your own head off. Because the thing just look too hard.
There's a
some
lot of folks
doing it. Weak.
And you know what? Christian folks are doing it just like everybody else.
Hey.
And it's confusion. It's confusion and it's a lot of things.
And you know what it is? I got one word for it.
What is it?
Satan himself.
And if you tell the devil.
It
don't
just like if you believe in God, then you must believe that the devil is out there and he's doing his job and he don't sleep either.
No.
Right. And for everyone that God owns, he's trying to own three or four. He's trying to take God's people too. That is the key right there.
Mm-hmm. When you if you allow 1 minute between your faith, he's in there.
He's tap dancing on
waiting,
that 1 minute.
He's waiting for you.
Yes, he is.
He's waiting for you.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up. I got to say this real quick and then we can do something. But remember, we are never more like Jesus Christ than when we are forgiving, loving, and creating. Now, if we got any fast last comments, I mean fast, go.
Take your children to the church house. Give them an even break. At least they'll make a choice for themselves.
Erling?
Good conversation. We got to think out of the box.
That's right.
Out of the box?
And guess what?
Church we don't want to know where honky's kids.
Church is carry in your heart wherever you go. And that's what the Lord looketh on, the heart.
He looketh on the heart.
2 Samuel.
Okay, and I appreciate that. Good show. Mm-hmm. We made it.
Yay!
All right. Kelly, we kind of moved it up there a little
bit. Man, we got to ratchet it up in here.